Welcome to Living Word Ministries with director and Bible teacher Debbie Blank. Each week, Debbie examines current events through the lens of end times Bible prophecies. Please visit our website for information and past programs at livingwordministry.org. Now let's open our Bibles to focus on truths from God's Word with Debbie Blank.
What would you think if Mexico came into the United States and said to us, "We want Texas back"? And the world forces said, "Yep, it's time. United States, you need to give the land of Texas back to Mexico because it once belonged to them." We would be appalled and we would not go along with that. Yet that's exactly what's happening to the state of Israel. Israel has land. They have territory that they have won in wars perpetrated upon them. And yet the world is now looking at forcing Israel into giving that back and doing it without their involvement and without their approval. To me, that's just amazing that anything like that could happen, and yet it's being done under the guise of peace in the Middle East. It's what's best for the Middle East. Forget about the fact that Israel is a sovereign nation, and these world powers would be perpetrating what they think is best on a sovereign nation. But the fact that Israel wouldn't have any say is amazing. If the powers that be can do that to Israel, they could do it anywhere. Isn't it fascinating to know that the Bible says such an event like this would happen shortly after the rapture of the church? And yet we're looking at possibly it happening very soon. That means we need to be looking up, folks, because our redemption draws near.
And I'm co-host Jackie Sailors. As I was observing the successes of the Abraham Accords during the last administration and seeing a succession of Arab countries normalize their relationships with Israel, I realized that peace was actually breaking out in the Middle East, not war. It was remarkable. Israel had been fighting off its Arab neighbors since day one. Yet four countries now saw the benefit of bypassing any two-state solution prerequisite for the benefits of normal relations with Israel. In fact, just days before Hamas's brutal attack on Israel, it was reported that even Saudi Arabia might be coming to an agreement as well. That would have been a real game changer, one that Hamas and Iran's other proxies couldn't tolerate. Then, on October 7, 2023, Hamas invaded Israel, brutally killed 1,200 unsuspecting citizens, and captured 240 hostages. Many of those are still being held hostage, while many have been tortured and killed. So, Israel is again in a war for its very existence. Its enemy's only goal is Israel's annihilation. And now world leaders are talking about taking charge to force a peace agreement, which sounds very much like the one described in Bible prophecy. If that's where we are on God's prophetic timeline, then, as Debbie just said, that places us very close to the tribulation and even closer to the rapture.
And wouldn't that be awesome? We have been waiting for this day for centuries. As believers in Jesus Christ, we knew it was coming because the Bible says it will happen. And yet we keep thinking, well, it's going to happen later. It won't happen during our lifetimes. But you never know. As we see all of the prophetic pieces falling into place, and now this peace that may or may not be what Daniel 9:27 promises, it still shows that it's possible in our lifetimes. So I can't tell you how shocked I was when I read in January that the European Union's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, said the only peaceful solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict included, first, the creation of a Palestinian state. Oh, wait a minute, that one really gets me, because what they're saying is, go ahead and massacre and rape and torture and murder these 1,200 people and then reward the Palestinians with their own statehood for their terrorism. That is totally upside down, and yet that's what this European Union official was saying. And then he suggested that this might need to, quote, be imposed from the outside, end quote, without Israel's agreement. Well, understand that land that the Palestinians are calling their land, which is the West Bank, Gaza, they're saying that that is their land and that Israel is the occupier of that land. Well, that's not true at all. It is to a point to the Gaza Strip, but it's Israel's land. They want it fair and square. And yet, again, the world leaders are saying, we're going to come in and make a decision on that. Borrell went on to say that without international intervention, the, quote, spiral of hate will continue generation after generation. Understand, the spiral of hate has been continuing since Israel became a state 75 years ago. The hate has been generated because the Palestinians have been taught in their schools, and still are, to hate the Jews and to kill the Jews, and that the Jews have taken over their land. They need to do whatever they can to get rid of the Jews. That's been found in documents that are taught in these schools. Even the UNWRA schools are teaching that to the Gaza Strip people and to Palestinians. So the way hate's going to end is when the Palestinians stop teaching hate. The Jews don't teach hate in their schools. They have been talking about peace for a long time. But they start disliking the Arabs when the Arabs treat them poorly and massacre them, as the Hamas Palestinians did on October 7th.
It's really simplifying things to say that if they get the land, there will be peace, because we know that they just want a one-state solution. They mouth sentiments toward the two-state solution. But if you read their literature, as you said, they don't want a two-state solution. They want Israel out of there. When you hear people say from the river to the sea, that includes that land. They don't want Israel there at all. To say that this will actually bring peace if they go along with the partitioning of off of more of the land, that's not going to solve anything. Plus, it's a very ancient animosity that goes back to Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael, even just the differences between Islam and Judaism. So there are many more factors than what they're trying to say.
There are, but they're making it sound so easy. If they require Israel and Palestine to have peace, then they'll have peace. Well, it's not quite that easy. Anyway, going back to Joseph Borrell, this European Union foreign policy chief, he went on to say, the actors are too opposed to be able to reach an agreement autonomously. The international community will have to impose it. You can't force a change of heart. Israel has been willing to accept every peace agreement that's been offered to them for the last 100 years. I mean, several agreements were offered before Israel became a state, and then several have been offered since then in order to have the two-state solution. Israel always said yes. The Palestinians always said no. So what's going to happen when the outsiders try and force an agreement on them? Then there may be two states, but that's not going to bring peace. It's just going to give the Palestinians more freedom in the weapons that they accumulate in order to fight against Israel, because it's part of their charter. They will continue to do that. Well, it's not just the European Union who's saying this. Secretary of State Antony Blinken asked the State Department's officials recently to review options to recognize a Palestinian state unilaterally. Same thing, same idea. He has publicly reiterated the Biden administration's support for the establishment of a Palestinian state in the aftermath of the war. You see, I think the world leaders are afraid what's going to happen once the war ends. They have not heard from Israel what Israel's plans are for that territory, except to have a secure area around the Gaza Strip. But they're afraid that Israel's going to take it over. Just to give you a little history of the Gaza Strip, the Gaza Strip used to be controlled by Egypt. When Israel won control of that land in a war perpetrated on them in 1967, the Palestinians wanted that as their territory, and eventually they were given that. In 2005, Israel removed their Jewish settlements from the Gaza Strip. And the reason they did that is because the Arabs will never allow a Jew to live in their land. Jews allow Arabs to live in their lands. They give them freedom. They even allow them to be members of the Knesset, their ruling body, because they are citizens of Israel. But the Palestinians would not allow any Jews in their territories. So Israel uprooted these settlements, which was a real dividing point in Israel, that they would kick their own people out of land that was technically theirs. They removed the settlers from Gaza, and they gave the Gaza Strip all the authority of that place to the Palestinians. There was an election the next year, and instead of the Palestinian Authority winning control of the Gaza Strip, Palestinians who were terrorists under the Hamas leadership gained control, and it's been a terrorist enclave ever since. The people are under suppression. It wasn't anything that it could have been with all the trillions, literally, of dollars that have come into the Gaza Strip from around the world to build that area up. Instead, the Hamas has used it for weaponry, to build rockets, to build the tunnels that they have in order to fight Israel.
And this was kind of under the auspices of trading land for peace. There were people that felt that, okay, if we trade this land, and as you said, pulled Israelis out of their settlements. Can you imagine being pulled out of your home by your own government? Some people were dragged out of there because they didn't want to leave so that they could trade this land for peace. And then they trade the land, but they do not get peace. As we have seen just since October 7th, no peace. The Jews who did not want to leave the Gaza Strip, but did, considered whether they should destroy their greenhouses and things like that that they were leaving behind so that the Palestinians couldn't have them. And yet they reconsidered and thought, no, we're going to give this a chance. So they didn't destroy the greenhouses. They left things as they were, giving the Palestinians a head start into being able to govern themselves and be improve themselves to be a peaceful governing entity. And instead, they destroyed the greenhouses when they got there and spent the money that they had, as you said, on weapons, and their goal being to just get rid of Israel, to encroach more and more on the Israeli territory. So that's what we've seen.
And during the 17 years that they've been in leadership, they have shot tens of thousands of rockets into Israel. They've started small, short, regional wars with Israel. When that happens, the world steps in and makes a peace agreement between Hamas and Israel. And when they do, Hamas always wins. They get something. People say, well, if you'll stop this war and you'll stop shooting rockets, we're going to give you whatever, billions of dollars. We're going to give you an infrastructure. We're going to build up this and that. And Hamas says, okay. And then they go back to life as usual, and in a matter of another year or two, they shoot more rockets and start another war because they know that they're going to benefit from that war. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. If a two-state solution is forced on Israel and Palestine, by the way, Hamas wins. They are rewarded for the massacre that they have perpetrated.
When you mentioned Secretary of State Antony Blinken talking about a unilateral recognition of a Palestinian state, I thought, oh my goodness, here's the United States, the only friend of Israel, really. So often we are the ones that will consistently stand up for them, to turn against Israel like that. And it reminded me of scripture that indicates that Israel won't have any friends when this prophecy comes to pass.
That's correct. And actually, from what I'm reading, the United States may say that we're friends of Israel, but are we showing it? Yes, we have given them some aid, but according to the sources at the IDF, they have to conserve their bullets and their rockets and the items that they're using for their defense because they don't have enough. And they don't have enough because the United States is not giving them enough. They request certain things from the United States, and the United States has a choice whether to give them or not, and they're not. And when you look at Antony Blinken's words, when you look at the administration's direction, they want Israel to go into a two-state solution. That means that Israel's going to have to step out of this war and do whatever the world is saying. And that's not best for Israel. Israel must take care of itself. Nobody else will. And yet the United States is starting to force that on Israel again. We may be helping Israel, but we're doing it according to our methods, not according to what Israel really needs. In 2007, we were over looking at the seven churches of Revelation in Turkey. At that point, Turkey was the second largest supporter of Israel in the world behind the United States. Well, now Turkey has turned against them. They are more of an Islamic state now, and they have said that they want a two-state solution, and they're even entertaining the Hamas in Turkey. So people all around the world are turning against Israel. Lots of things have changed, and the Bible says that very thing is going to happen. In Zechariah 12, 2 through 3, it says, "Behold, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around." Now keep in mind, East Jerusalem is what the Palestinians are saying they must have as their capital in order to have a Palestinian state. They're going to get the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem. So that's certainly a cup that causes reeling to all the people. It goes on to say in Zechariah 12, when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. Jerusalem is the city. Judah is the territory. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Now, does that mean they're going to gather up their armies around Jerusalem to fight Jerusalem? I think it's going to be diplomatic, and I also think it's going to be the one world government that makes the decision that represents all the nations of the world. But they can't make that decision unless they have the support of all the nations of the world. And we're starting to see that now. It's not just the European Union. It's not just the United States. But China and the UN have also stepped in. And the World Economic Forum has talked about the importance of a two-state solution. Even South Africa took Israel to the International Court of Justice, accusing them of genocide for defending themselves. And then, of course, we have some Arab nations. As you mentioned earlier, Saudi Arabia was on the cusp of making normalization with Israel when all this happened. They had not talked about any preconceived notions such as Palestine becoming a state, but now that's what they're calling for. And there's many terrorists, Hamas terrorists and Islamic Jihad, who are living in the West Bank. And they're perpetrating some of the same kinds of massacres on Israeli citizens as we saw in Gaza. If Palestine becomes a nation, then Israel's right in the middle of their country is going to have terrorists with virtually no reason not to shoot rockets and kill the Israelis. We could see the same types of massacres. But these and more international actors believe the violence only underscores the need for a peace deal. And since Israel and Palestine haven't come to that agreement, they're going to intercede because they know what's best. Again, think of the United States and Mexico. If Mexico tried to take over our land in Texas and actually New Mexico and other places that they used to control, we would not allow it. And we wouldn't especially allow it if the UN and other people said that we needed to do it.
And we still know that they are holding hostages. Even while they're holding hostages and killing and torturing other hostages, we know that that's true. They still want to use appeasement with the Palestinians. And appeasement has never worked on an international scale whatsoever. Like you said, it's rewarding them. So they're just going to be encouraged to do more of it. So nothing's going to change. There's nothing that shows a change of heart where they're surrendering and releasing the hostages. That might show maybe some progress, but they're not doing that yet. And still, these leaders are talking about Israel making all the concessions.
Keep in mind, the Middle East is a big area. Iran's in the Middle East. Iran is a terrorist country. They're trying to destroy Israel and the United States, and not to mention others. Iraq and other places in the Middle East, they have never had peace since they took over their countries 70 years ago or better. It's not just Israel and Palestine that are the problem. But since Israel has the audacity to defend itself, they're being called the perpetrators, and they're the ones that are potentially being forced to make the concessions. Looking back to the War of Independence with Israel in 1948, where five nations surrounding Israel came up to make war to destroy Israel and take over that land. And then you have the War of 1967, you have a war with Egypt in 1956, then you have the Yom Kippur War of 1973, and all the other skirmishes that were designed to destroy Israel. They were not perpetrated by Israel, they were perpetrated by the Arabs. So the Arabs are the ones that have made war against Israel, and Israel has only defended itself, and yet they're the bad guys. That shows what world politics can do and what fake news can do to make the world believe what they're telling them.
And it's been the way of the world that if someone, even if you perpetrate a war on somebody else and you win, it's been the way of the world that the winners get the territory, let alone if this is a country that has had war perpetrated on it. They've defended themselves each time. And by the grace of God, and quite a few miracles, if you read Against All Odds and some of these stories about how God seems to definitely have intervened in a country that was Day one, they were attacked by their five neighbors surrounding them. They had no established military, but these five countries did. And somehow or another, they came out the winner. And if they've won territory, that is legitimately their territory. They don't have to give it back.
That's correct. It is their territory. And yet people are trying to tell them what to do. And as I mentioned, the fake news is trying to make Israel out as the bad guy. They're trying to say that Israel is killing all of these innocent people. Well, certainly innocent people have died. But understand, they didn't start the war. This is a repercussion of war, is innocent people are dying. But if you look at all the facts, you'll find that most of the innocent people are dying because Hamas is using them as shields. They shoot their rockets from hospitals, schools, and mosques so that when Israel retaliates and destroys the place where the rockets were shot from, innocent people live there and they're being killed. Israel is being touted as the bully because they won't allow humanitarian aid into all these people in Gaza who are suffering. Well, Israel is paying for and bringing in the aid. Israel has opened up the borders and allowed them to come into Gaza. But the Hamas terrorists are stealing it from the citizens. So the people aren't getting it, not because of Israel or the other parts of the world giving aid, but because the terrorists are taking it from the citizens. And when it comes to Israel bombing different parts of Gaza, they sent leaflets out, literally the old-fashioned leaflets out of a plane, to people in Gaza to let them know to move south because they're going to be coming in on the north part. They put information on social media. They did everything possible to move the Gazans south. And it worked because most of them moved south, knowing that Israel was coming in the north. Some of them didn't want to move south. And yet the media will say it's because of Israel. That's who the problem is, not the Hamas using their citizens as human shields.
That's a war crime, to use your citizens as human shields. Hamas is committing the war crimes, but somehow or another, that just isn't what's being told to the public. And so you talk about displacement. They're concerned that Gazans are being displaced, but it's for humanitarian reasons. Israelis are also being displaced. After the attack on the southern border of Israel between Gaza and Israel, they had to move people away from there, and also attacks and danger from the northern border. So there have been thousands of Israelis that have been displaced as well.
Israel finds itself in a catch-22 situation, in my opinion, because they have given the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians in hopes of having a peaceful two-state solution. Clearly, that hasn't worked. But technically, that land now does belong to the Palestinians. And yet Israel cannot allow the Hamas terrorists to again gain control in there. So what are they going to do? Are they going to empty out the territory and let no one live there? Well, that displaces all those civilians, which, by the way, Israel wants these civilians to be able to get out of the territory so that none of them are hurt. But Egypt on the south and Jordan on the east will not take these citizens. And the United States is saying, no, you can't send them out of Gaza. So Israel is really in a catch-22. What are they going to do with this land? If they rot out the Hamas terrorists and they have the civilians left in Gaza, everything I'm reading says that a lot of the civilians were part of the massacre of October 7th. We know that the United Nations in their UNWRA schools and in their relief efforts are part of Hamas. We know that families, normal families in Gaza Strip, have housed the hostages because they are part of Hamas. So all the citizens there are either Hamas-controlled or part of a Hamas mentality. People are saying, well, we put people from the West Bank in there. They have the same mentality. And why should Israel reward the Palestinians in the West Bank with this territory when they're going to end up doing the same thing and they have the same mentality? It's an impossible situation. So in steps the Bible prophecy. In Daniel 9:27, it reads, he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now that's what it says. Let me explain what it means without explaining the whole chapter 9 of Daniel. When it says he, it's talking about the Antichrist, the world leader who's going to come on the scene the last 7 years before Jesus Christ returns. He's going to make a firm covenant. So he's going to force Israel, because this whole chapter is about Israel. And when it says he's going to make a firm covenant with the many are Israel. He's going to force Israel into a, quote, diplomatic type of a covenant or an agreement. And it's not going to be one that Israel wants, but they're going to have to accept it. We can see Israel's in that position almost right now. He will make a firm covenant with the Jews for 1 week. In Daniel 9, that 1 week is a 7-year period of time. But in the middle of the week, he's going to put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. We know from the book of 2 Thessalonians that that means that he's going to stop the, quote, peace agreement in the middle of the 7 years, and he's going to declare himself to be God. That's what the wing of abominations will be. From that passage, there is going to be a peace agreement that's forced upon Israel. Is this it? We don't know that. We don't even know if the Palestinian-Israeli issue is going to be an issue before Jesus Christ returns. But boy, this certainly meshes with what we're seeing today. And not only that, but in Revelation 6, in the breaking of the first seal, in verses 1 through 4, it says, I saw the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying as with the voice of thunder, come. I looked, and behold, a white horse, and the one who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Well, the white horse is not Jesus. This, again, is the Antichrist. He comes with a bow, but no arrows. So he's not going to make war, but that bow indicates that he could. So basically, he's going to be a peacemaker, or at least it looks like that. So that matches up with Daniel chapter 9. And because he has a crown given to him, he is a leader where the people will honor him as such. So we have two places in Scripture that talk about a world leader forcing Israel into peace that they will not want or that isn't to their advantage. Time's coming close, folks. We could be seeing that any time. Again, we don't know if these current events match up with what the Bible says, but we do know that this certainly matches with what's going on. We just don't know if the timings are right, but the pieces are falling into place. I encourage you, watch what's going on in Israel, because the future is all about Israel in God's eyes. And study the Bible. Know what it says about the future and what it says about Israel so you can see for yourself these things that are happening and how they match up to Bible prophecy. Because God wants us to know this, or he wouldn't give us so much Bible prophecy. He wants us to know it so we'll be prepared. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Are you prepared in your heart for him to come? Are you living the way he would have you live when he returns? It's getting near, folks. Look up, because your redemption draws near.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Word Ministries with Debbie Blank. This is a listener-supported show. If you'd like to support this program or contact Debbie Blank, you may do so at P.O. Box 540-003, Omaha, Nebraska 68154, or visit our website at livingwordministry.org. Please tune in each week at this same time for Living Word Ministries with Debbie Blank.